Hudson Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. A lot of former students carrying federal loans and hoping to have them forgiven by the government are now caught in court fights between the Biden administration, which wants to do that, and local Republican officials suing to prevent it. A Texas district court has held the move unlawful. Now an appellate court keeps that in place with no delay. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
I think that the Biden administration has known that it's an uphill battle to have their student loan forgiveness program go forward. It's being challenged by courts around the country. But so far, they haven't had much luck in having the courts uphold the program.
With Russia's war now in its 10th month, the Pentagon's considering training 2,500 Ukrainian soldiers a month at bases in Germany. Wall Street was jumping for joy at the prospect of smaller interest rate hikes, even though there will still be more increases to cool inflation. CBS's Sarah Ewell Weiss.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said the pace of hiking interest rates could ease as soon as next month, but he warned the Fed has a long way to go in combating inflation.
It is likely that restoring price stability will require holding policy at a restrictive level for some time.
The Fed has already hiked the federal funds rate by nearly 4 percentage points this year.
One thing the White House and most in Congress do not want is to see a possible rail strike next week.
On this vote, the yeas are 290, the nays are 137. The joint resolution is passed.
A House bill to prevent a strike and impose a new industry contract, that still needs Senate approval. More information from California law enforcement about the triple murder of a woman and her parents. They say a Virginia sheriff's deputy and former state trooper posed as a 17-year-old boy online and asked a teenage girl in that family for nude pictures before driving across the country and committing the killings.
The 15-year-old was not harmed in the shootout. Detectives say there's no evidence she was complicit in the killings.
We don't know yet if she was threatened, coerced. We're not describing it as a kidnapping at this point.
The teen is receiving medical treatment and is in the care of Child Protective Services.
CBS's Danya Backus. Now to Hawaii's Big Island, where a major volcano is erupting for the first time in nearly 40 years. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
Mauna Loa's previous eruptions have come close to wiping out communities. While people are not currently in danger, the slow-moving but persistent lava flow could threaten local roads.
It has taken about 3 years and court fights up to the Supreme Court, but as of tonight, still democratically controlled House Ways and Means Committee has in its hands 6 years of former President Donald Trump's tax returns. This is CBS News.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
President Trump has announced, and Ron DeSantis is rising fast. Who do you support for 2024? Newsmax wants to know what you think. Vote in the Newsmax poll. Just text the word FISH to 39747. That's FISH to 39747. It takes just seconds. Text FISH to 39747. Let your voice be heard. And watch Newsmax today.
This is Staples.
So rumor has it that Staples has everything I need to ship.
Mm-hmm. We have all the shipping supplies and services you need.
Boxes?
Yep.
Mailers?
Yeah. And we have UPS here in store.
Huh. What will Staples think of next?
Right?
No, seriously, I'm asking, what will they think of next?
Staples is your one-stop shipping destination. Now get 50% off shipping boxes, mailers, or tubes when you buy five of the same item in store or online with 1 hour pickup. Staples, the best kept secret in shipping. Ends 12/31. Exclusions apply. Visit staplesconnect.com/shipping for details.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net, it scores!
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Here is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, December 1st. The South Wood County Airport Commission will hold their public meeting at 8 a.m. in the Airport Terminal Building at Alexander Field in Wisconsin Rapids. In Wood County, the Highway Infrastructure and Recreation Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the Highway Department Conference Room. The Civil Service Commission will meet at 10 a.m. at the Courthouse, Room 115. And the North Central ITBEC Board and Tourism and Economic Development Advisory Committee will meet at 10 a.m. at CESA 8 in the Maple Room, 223 West Park Street, Gillette, Wisconsin. In Portage County, the Commission on Aging, Aging and Disability Resource Center Board and Special Board meeting will take place at 4 p.m. And the Human Resources Committee will also meet at 4 p.m. at the Portage County Annex Conference Rooms 1 and 2. In Adams County, the voting machine audit will take place from 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 7 above overnight under clear skies, westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 31. Lows dip down to about 25. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. A dusting of snow Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 14.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CivicMedia.us.
Welcome back to the third hour of As Goes Wisconsin on this last day of November, Wednesday, hump day, Greg Bach day. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
One more hour. This is going to be a very fun hour.
Yeah. The first hour was the winning hour.
Then we had even the second hour was not so serious.
No.
With political news.
But now,
I feel like we all just need a little bit of a break from the political news. And so dabbling with the things that you need to know, but not harping on the debt ceiling. We'll probably do that at some point over the next week and a half.
Is it weird that when anyone brings up the debt ceiling, I automatically think of Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory when he yells about how he bumped into the
ceiling. The ceiling's cleaned.
Yep. Because you stole fizzy lifting drink, therefore you get nothing. Good day, sir.
Such a jerk that Willy Wonka. I mean,
it was a test.
But that is a good segue.
Is that gaslighting?
Because there is a subreddit that is called Am I the A-Hole? But that's actually spelled out, but it's the radio, so we'll temper
ourselves.
Because
there's freedom on the internet.
And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's when people submit stories and they open it up to the forum of the Redditors to say, am I the jerk in this situation? And they lay out the scenario and paint the picture and are, I think, come to it genuinely asking, I thought I was right in this situation. Was I? And looking for confirmation. And in that scenario, who was the jerk? Charlie or Willy Wonka?
Honestly, I think... Oh, that's a good question. Holy cow. Oh,
think about it.
I think...
Think about it. We don't think about it. If you have an answer to that question, we're still going to move on to the restaurant, but that's a good question. So this segment is... Am I the a-hole? We're going to talk about restaurants, but in the story of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, who is the jerk?
I'm a
Willy
male.
Wonka
I'm
or
a,
Charlie?
I'm a male, 12 years old. I was out with my grandpa, 67.
All right. So where I really wanted to go with this is, I think something that we all experience, which is when you're in a restaurant, what is the threshold of bad service before you feel that you're not the jerk for just walking out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Jane, you've had this with takeout that just never came. I had this with a local restaurant in my neighborhood recently that was very frustrating, but I live there. So I was like, I have to handle this because this is like my neighbors. But someone posted on this subreddit that I think has people, I think he's right. But I think I'm asking to the audience, what is the threshold? How long do you need to wait for your food to come after you've ordered at a restaurant before it is totally reasonable for you to walk out. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-BARTY. What is your threshold for it being a reasonable reaction to bad service for you to walk out without paying at a restaurant? So this was the situation that got posted on Reddit, and then we can share our own stories. But so he said, I, a 23-year-old male, am in a long-distance relationship with my girlfriend, who is a 22-year-old female. I went to see her last weekend and took her out for our one-year anniversary. I wanted to take her somewhere nice, so we went to a place my coworker recommended. I looked it up, and it had great reviews for food and service. So we went to go see the Van Gogh Experience and then went out to dinner. I had made a reservation, and the restaurant was not busy at all, so I was surprised when we were asked to wait. We went into the lounge and had a drink and waited. About 20 minutes later, the hostess came for us, and we were seated. It took a long time for the waiter to come for our order. I was trying to have a good time, but I was hungry. We ordered straight off the menu, no substitutions or deletions. And then we waited. We had another drink. I asked the waiter about our food. They said, it'll be right out. I saw that people who were seated after us got their meals. 1 hour after we sat, I had had enough. I asked my girlfriend if she was comfortable if we left, and she said that she was waiting for me to suggest it. So I left money for the drinks on our table, and we walked out. The waiter saw us leaving and came over to ask us what the problem was. I said that we had waited long enough and that we had had other plans, so we left. We went to a chain steak restaurant and had a great meal. My girlfriend thanked me for getting us out of the other place without a scene. The server asked about our evening. We told him they brought us complimentary dessert, even though they and their restaurant did everything right. I tipped very well, 20% plus the cost of the dessert. When I got back to work, I told the guy who recommended the place in the first place about the crap service, and he said I was the jerk for walking out without paying for my food. I never got any food. I don't think I'm wrong. Even if our appetizers never made it out of the kitchen. And thus, the power of this subreddit, people weighed in. So what is your reaction, Greg?
Well, first of all, I think it's one of the most clear-cut cases, in my opinion. He is not the problem. Like, between the sitting in the bar waiting to get seated, the fact that it took a long time for this server to show up, the appetizers never showing up and the food never showing up. No, nope. Done. Pay for your drinks. Pay for what you've imbibed.
What you got.
Cool deal. He is not the problem here. And the bigger problem is the coworker who thinks he is. That to me, I'd be like, if I told that story to somebody and they said, no, you should have stayed and waited. How long do I wait?
Yeah.
And do I pay for food I never get? What is your reasoning for why I'm the problem here? So yeah, this guy's in the clear.
Jane?
I'm kind of torn.
Only
because of the current problem with people getting and retaining employees.
Mm-hmm.
And if this were not potential, if we were out of COVID and we were long away from COVID or pre-COVID or something like that, I wouldn't have any problem with it. But I do think that restaurants in particular and the hospitality industry also in particular are having a really difficult time getting and retaining employees. And if you only have one chef back there and you lost your sous chef and you have two waiters, and but again, do you wait 2 hours?
But the question I have then is, on what responsibility then is it of the business to tell the people, hey, this is a situation? If you know, like, it just say your food will be right out. Well, no, if you say if I go to a restaurant and you say to me those things you just said, Jane, I could see sticking around, supporting. I get it, things happen. But if you're not making any effort to explain to the people that you're serving why what's going on is happening, if that is in fact the case, and you're just sort of saying like your food will be out soon, then no.
That's a good point, Greg. If that was the issue, and if they had owned up to that issue and asked for a little more patience, that would certainly make it more palatable, right?
Mm-hmm. What say you? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96.
Party.
We have a text from the 323.
323.
323. Giannis had an issue with Brady's taco joint. They didn't have any room for him, so he went to a different place. Everything ended up okay, and Giannis was a class act.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
I have a similar story about that.
Well, here. So we want to hear from you. what is the, is this guy wrong or is he right? But also, what is the threshold? What is the length of time that you feel like this, I gave you a chance and now I got to go eat? Because I think that is the other thing with restaurants is you are screwing with people's like hangry level of, I need to eat, I need to have sustenance or I'm going, my sugar levels are going to drop and I'm going to not be very nice. And so, because I agree with you, Greg, as far as in the situation that happened with me that was most similar to this, it was not a nice restaurant. It was not my anniversary. We were maybe mildly hungover, and though I did really need to eat, but it was a neighborhood spot. And it was not only that it just took so long, and we did end up waiting, but we got it to go. It was the attitude.
Yeah.
It was the attitude of the service. I mean, there was other things, like the drink order was wrong, but it was mostly just how long the food took. But it was the attitude almost as soon as we sat down that was, we were her burden.
Yeah.
Like, that felt she was not, because we asked, had questions about the menu, and the response was pretty curt. And I think that, to me, always is like, you do work in the service industry, ultimately. And the communication and the attitude, I think, sets so much of the tone for a reasonable response when things are out of your control in the kitchen, a mistake as far as the order was put in wrong.
Yeah.
I think there's some people who are totally unreasonable in their expectations, is like they have zero understanding or patience. I would not ever, as someone who's worked in the service industry, I don't think I'm one of those people. But as long as you're always communicating as far as setting expectations of how long this is going to take or why it's taking so long, offer a round of drinks, like take something off the menu. Like there are
apologize.
Like, so I think that there is, it doesn't sound like that any of those things were offered.
Yeah.
So thus I do side with, he was not wrong.
No, he was not wrong. There's a place that I used to go to a lot here, well, in Milwaukee, that, in my opinion, has their service has gone downhill. Their attitude, they've started slinging attitude towards people. I've got people who've told me multiple stories of just being rude, like calling up. I called up one night and I said, "Hey, I want to order food," and they're like, "We're not taking orders on, over the phone." They hung up on me. And I'm like, one, why aren't you taking orders over the phone? Two, hanging up on me, that's just absolutely rude as all get out. Like, you know, I have a high threshold for that stuff because I work in the service industry, and I understand that tensions can rise. And but like when you have no base level of empathy or no base level connection or base level of any sort of with people, that's when I started to get frustrated. I went to a Burger King the other night, and they said, like, please pull around in our parking lot. We'll bring the food out to you. It took 20 minutes. I was the only person in the drive-thru. And I still was like, thank you. Like, and I drove away going, should I have said something? I feel like I should have said something.
Was it like one person working in the entire Burger King?
I have no idea. I didn't go inside. They didn't. Yeah. I was, and I kept on doing that thing of like, should I go inside? Be like, hey, where's my food? But there's also a very base level idea of, I don't want to cause a scene. I don't want to.
Well, and this opens,
I don't want to ruffle feathers.
This opens a whole other conversation. We still want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Who's the jerk in this situation? And what is your threshold when it comes to service and what you feel like you shouldn't have to pay for? But I feel like this opens the conversation of who is the responsible for that. Is it the owners and who they're hiring? But like Jane said, in a hard environment to hire good people, and you just got to hire who you can, and you deal with their attitude, because you just got it's a job that needs, it's a business that needs bodies.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that more when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
Meet you anytime you want in our Italian restaurant.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Suddenly, my quarterback is the number one trending topic. Why, you might ask, is Aaron Rodgers trending on Twitter? He's out this game. He's got COVID-19,
And to my perception, he freaking lied to us, man. I'm very frustrated that he is not eligible to play this Sunday, especially when you find out your quarterback is a half a Trumpster. And he claims, I'm not a flat earther, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, I just play one in the NFL. That pisses me off, man. I was going to bet on that team. Maybe. New time, 3 to 6 p.m. And Dom.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 14 overnight, under clear skies, westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Highs level off around 34. Lows level off around 26. Tomorrow night, mainly clear. Chance for scattered rain showers. Friday, high temperatures reach up to 48. 28, mainly sunny skies and calm. Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are here with Greg Buck because it's Wednesday.
Hump day!
And we are talking about restaurant service etiquette and what is your threshold for bad service. And we opened it up to calls and texts. We would love to hear from you on your ability. What is your patience level when it comes to I ordered, I waited, it's still not here, I'm leaving. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96.
Party.
Do we have a text?
We do, from the 920. The clincher for me in this instance was people that came in after us got their food before us, so he was not wrong. Another one from the 608. You've hit right on the key, communication from the staff. If they can explain it, I usually can get by, but they owe you an explanation as a customer if the wait time is excessive.
Because I think even if you, I've had certain, definitely in the last 2 years, as unemployment's been low, it's been hard to staff, of the hostess from the get-go saying, hey, it's going to be not only this long to wait until you, if it's crowded, but our kitchen's backed up.
Yeah.
So if as long as you are okay, we are entering into this social contract right now that you are agreeing that it's okay, that it could take an hour, if not more, for you to get your food. You can sit, you can drink, but as long as you know that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that is an important, so it's like, at least I know what I'm getting into. If I know that I am this hungry, like, if you have the full information, you can then, as a consumer, make a choice to go somewhere else if you're like, I'm really hungry, I need to eat.
And I think there's also one, like, on the concept of communication, there's also another thing to discuss, too, is you mentioned in the last segment about bosses doing something about it. How many people then, at the end of the day, are, like, maybe the next day calling up in a respectful, informational, constructive tone saying, I went to your restaurant, here's what happened. I just want you to know, I'm not asking for free food. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking for anything. I just want you to know that this is what's happening. And I don't want to see it keep happening, especially if it's a restaurant you like. So, like, I don't want to say there's a responsibility on the customer's side to let the boss know or let the business owners know. But it is something you can do. Because if business is just happening, and especially if the bosses aren't there, like if the owner isn't there and they have a general manager and whatnot, if they don't know what's going on, they can't make any sort of changes if they have no clue what's actually happening. So if they're brought to light what's happening, that's also another thing on our, as the consumer's responsibility, not going on Yelp and being a jerk, but actually calling up and be like, hey, this is what happened, or sending an email. You know, there's ways of doing it where you can inform them and maybe they can make changes.
Well, that's what, I mean, not to out him, but because Mike also being working the industry, in the service industry, he does that. And he does that. He does either a specific email or a DM, but it's never a review, a public review on the restaurant. It is intentional to the owner, who may or may not know that their staff is closing before, like in the hours that the restaurant is supposed to be open, people are showing up, and because it's been slow, they're closing a half hour early.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. And like, and I get this push and pull of, like we said, service industry is a, it's a fun job if you work at the right place, and it could also be a really crappy job. It's a physically hard as far as, if you're a bartender moving kegs at a busy place, how quickly you're moving, taking orders, dealing with customers. It is a job I think everyone should have to have.
Yes.
Like, hands down, more than a barista, like working in a restaurant, working at a bar.
And a factory.
And if, I've never worked in a factory. Honestly, there's not that many factory jobs anymore.
That's true.
That's
true.
I got all the kids to work at the mill. I think that
sweep up the saw.
Go dig coal, children. I did, come on.
I worked at Brookfield Square for 3 years, which means I worked the course of three Christmases too. That's a whole different world. I mean, like, that's a whole different world and a whole different set of like entitlement. It's crazy pants. It's crazy.
What's your craziest story?
From the mall, it didn't come from me, but it came from the owner. A guy came in with a box of what looked like dust and said, "I bought this from you, like, whenever.
Take it back.
Take it back. I want my money back." And the guy came in saying, like, "I'm a doctor. I don't deserve to be treated like this. I'm a doctor. Take this back. I bought this and now it looks like this." And the owner, who, it was a collectible store. We sold like Yadros and Department 56 stuff. And the guy who owned the place looked like he literally looked at a factory.
Like that, precious moments. I used to collect those.
We had precious moments as well. Swarovski crystals. And my boss just looked right at me and goes, "Sir, you're an idiot."
Wow.
He said, "If you walked into this store and bought this item and it was in perfect shape and now you're bringing it to me and it's dust, that means you broke it so poorly that you expect me to believe that you weren't the idiot who broke it," and sent him on his way.
This is not Nordstrom's. We will not take your used tires.
I just love that he expected the fact that he's a doctor, is somehow going to change things.
And I used to work at a music store too, in customer service. Same thing too. People with their entitlements, and you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There are positive ways of going about bringing problems to management.
Well, and I think that's what's so great about this subreddit is people put in like detail.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the charm of, especially when there's certain ones that go viral and they get BuzzFeed articles written about them and there's discussion, because they put a lot of detail into trying to paint the full picture of my perspective. This is my stance on this, because there are situations where someone's, I'm sure that guy felt very dishonored in that situation. That doctor.
Well, you were an idiot, doctor, sir. Yeah, I mean, I've got tons of stories. I mean, I'm sure you do. Like, if you work in service industry for a year, you're going to get stories.
Yeah.
And I think if everyone worked in service industry, minimum wage would be $17.
Mm.
And I think that people would be a little bit nicer when they walk up to that counter and ask for something.
I think that's true. But to come full circle, did we get any more texts or anything? All right. I do think in this instance, this guy was right. Mm-hmm. In my instance that was similar to this, we did end up waiting for the food. We took it to go. But my friend that I was with left a very objective note of all the things that had happened on the receipt. And he still tipped well, but he just had a bullet list of what had gone wrong for the person to reflect on. All right, we got to go to another break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Pride.
Left corner three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes. It counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Hey, it's Kristen Bry from As Goes Wisconsin, which is now a radio show. That's right, I'm taking the same fun and uncomplicated approach to talking about state and local news to the airwaves. Starting July 5th, me and my friends from all parts of the state and all different backgrounds will break down the Wisconsin headlines in a way that informs, entertains, and hopefully makes you laugh. Tune in to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. to 2 on 101 FM The Shaw and WAUK 540 AM.
Congratulations to the winners of the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway. The following individuals won a $50 gift card from the participating sponsors. Petra Inderdahl of Scandinavia from La Taqueria. Dave Colby of Wisconsin Rapids from Jennings & Company. Ken Hilgers of Nakusa from Piggly Wiggly. And Brenda Piotrowski of Adams from Hoozles at the Lakes. And the grand prize winner of two club tickets to the New Year's Day game, Dave Colby. WFHR and WIRI would like to thank all who participated and especially our sponsors. Have a happy holiday season from Civic Media and locally grown radio.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Winter weather is here, and with this snowy season, snowplows are out working hard to keep roads clear. Drivers may notice a new light feature on many snowplows throughout the state, as county and municipal snowplows have added flashing green lights in addition to their yellow ones. A new law was passed in April that allowed this addition, as officials say green lights create a better contrast against the snow and are more visible during storms. The decision was made because of several close calls, and as they are phased in, officials hope it serves as a more visible reminder to slow down and proceed with caution around snowplows. Governor Tony Evers is seeking an applicant for the appointment of Register of Deeds in Adams County. Jody M. Helgeson will retire on January 13, 2023, and the new Register of Deeds will serve the remainder of the unexpired term that ends on January 5, 2025. Applications must be received by 5 p.m. on December 9th. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 7 above overnight under clear skies, westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 31. Lows dip down to about 25. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. A dusting of snow Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 14.
I would do a dramatic reading of a review of a classic. Truly, at one point, it was the longest-running show on Broadway. And if you are a fan of this show, we would love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Yes, please.
And I will admit, I was a fan of the soundtrack of this show as a kid. I cannot tell you the countless amounts of hours. I had a full-length mirror on the back of my closet door in my bedroom growing up.
Okay.
And I would swing the door open so it was like flush with the door to my actual room. I would move the little like nightstand that sat in between the two doors in front of the door to actually come into the room so that people couldn't walk in on me doing this.
That was smart.
And the hours I spent making up choreography and lip syncing to musical theater growing up. And Cat's soundtrack was Mr. Mistopheles. I did a lot of interpretive dance to that song.
If there was Spotify back in those days and you got your Spotify rap, it just would have been like, wow, kid, go outside. You like a lot of musical theater.
Touch the grass.
Yeah.
So
touch the grass.
So I saw someone post this. This is not even a new review. This is from 2017. This was published originally, but right before the movie was coming out, because they made Cats into a movie. Who was the director of that? It was like a huge deal. Taylor Swift was in it. Idris Elba was in it.
Like James Corden.
Yeah, the cast was insane.
Judy Dench
I think, played Grazabella.
Yes.
It was a movie that, by the way, nobody asked to be made.
Yes. And I think it tanked,
Tom Hooper,
too.
Tom Hooper.
So, I read this review of Cats. It wasn't even a review. It's a hilarious writer trying to think back to what the plot is of Cats. So if you, musical theater fans out there, know what the plot of Cats is, please let us know. 844-967-2789. Because what I'm about to read is certainly not the plot of Cats. But here we go. If you had asked me last week what the plot of Cats was, I would have said it's about a bunch of glamorously feral cats who are going to get evicted from their garbage patch, but somehow prevail to keep their home. This was the impression it made on me 25 years ago as a 5-year-old, but it is not at all the plot of Cats.
That's the end of the story.
In order to keep the memory of this show alive for my childhood self, I refuse to research what actually happened during this show because it is totally, utterly, absolutely bonkers. As we continue, let me set the scene for you. Literally. The stage is indeed a garbage pile. The set is reminiscent of the vacant lot behind my first New York City apartment where a group of small kittens, who eventually turn into terrifying wildcats, but not capital C cats, policed a haphazard garbage pile where we would leave our refuse. This junkyard on stage is similar, full of trash of improbable and inconsistent sizes. There's an oven as tall as the cats, and a shoe that's even bigger than the oven. There's a tire that will eventually turn into a spaceship in the final act, and a cluster of string Christmas lights overhead that gives a bohemian feel. The floor is painted to look like a newspaper, and the whole thing feels sort of like my college dorm room after the time we decorated all the light fixtures with vodka bottles and fishnet tights. In the opening number, the cats slink on stage and start to introduce themselves in Andrew Lloyd Webber rock opera falsetto. It's delightful, but confusing. These cats, it seems, are stuck in a dystopian London garbage heap, suspended in purgatory between their 9 lives, waiting to ascend to their next life. They call themselves Jellicle Cats, and they try to explain what that means in a song, but it's very hard to understand what they're saying. While singing this song, they prance around the stage in spandex, bedazzled cat costumes, and wild poofy hair that has since been tamed into ears. They do have a sexy sort of cat ballet, all the while decrying that they are metaphorical cats, hypothetical cats. What? There is a lot of unchristian hip movements and innuendo. I'm just going to tell you now, there are no lines in this play. It is a cat opera, and every thought, feeling, and word is either danced or sung. What are you thinking so far? Is this pretty accurate? Is you, what do you remember, Jane?
Absolutely. I was so confused. It's like, what am I seeing? And why am I here?
All right, so we continue. From what I gathered, the cats are here today for a cat ball, where they will find out which one of them will be chosen to leave purgatory and return to life. For the next hour and a half, all the cats are introduced with an elaborate song and dance that is possibly their audition for the afterlife. There's a cat who looks like a drag queen doing a David Lee Roth impression. Another of whom everyone is afraid of is Grezabella, the glamour cat. There's a very fat cat and two acrobatic bandit cats who do impressive gymnastics. There's a very old and important cat named Deuteronomy who seems to be in charge. He's wearing a shag carpet with shags that are at least a foot long. The plot begins to unfold, I think, as the other cats announce that this respected elder cat will choose one of them to be reincarnated and leave purgatory for their next life. When intermission rolls around, it's unclear as to what is actually happening in the show. At the bar, there's a choice between a literal $37 glass of wine or a more reasonably priced, from New York at least, $12 Jellicle juice that is improbably made with coconut rum.
I love the headlines of the next part. Just, what just happened? I don't know. Did I like it? I do not know.
All right, so we have confirmed at least that the end of the first act does not end with the
memory song.
The marquee song, Memory. All right. Act two entails, yep, more cat introductions.
Great pun.
There's a railway cat who comes on stage for an elaborate performance and is never seen or heard from again. The lights pop up and spooky music plays to introduce a cat named McCavity,
Should have been McCatvity.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, right.
McCavity is a criminal. He does an improbable ballet fight and attempts to rape one of the lady cats. Trigger warning. Mr. Mistopheles, here's my number, is summoned to save the day, and it seems he's a magician of sorts, dressed like Siegfried and Roy at Burning Man. He can control the lights, and he uses his powers to flash the overhead string of Christmas lights in a rainbow frenzy. This is where the acid would really kick in. Mr. Mistopheles is so impressed with himself for saving the day that he leaps into Deuteronomy's arms, and Deuteronomy cradles him like a baby kitten, which might have been the highlight of the show. It was adorable.
Oh my God.
All right, here we go. We're getting to the end. We're getting to the climax. Grezabella, the glamour cat, creeps on stage. The other cats are still afraid of her, but she woos them with a song. Memory. Which is the song, I promise you now. Barbra Streisand sang it in 1982. Grezabella sings hard, the kind of glass-shattering volume you think of when you think about Broadway. It gave me goosebumps. After this song, Grezabella has won the hearts of both the audience and the Jellicle cats.
And by this point, Jane had walked out an hour before.
Yes.
I'm out.
Jane's like, I don't know what.
I'm so confused.
I got what I came for. The play is winding down, and since nothing has actually happened, something has to happen. Shaggy Deuteronomy chooses a cat to reincarnate. He climbs up onto the tire to announce the winner, and it is obviously Barbra Streisand cat. She is helped onto the tire, which then begins to rise off the ground, blue smoke pouring out. This moment is the only thing I remember besides being amazed and terrified by the cats scampering around up and down the aisle from when I saw the show 25 years ago. Although I didn't remember that I remembered it until I saw it again. Deuteronomy and Grezabella are on their floating tire while the stage is bathed in smoke and blue lights and the power cords of Andrew Lloyd Webber are reverberating around the theater.
Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Sorry.
Respect.
Respect. It is the stuff that dreams or nightmares are made of. Grezabella levitates from the tire and is lifted into the heavens just as daylight breaks and the rest of us garbage cats are stuck in this purgatory junkyard we call life. The show is over. So, what just happened? I do not know. Did I like it? I do not know. Would you like it? I do not know. I asked a few other theatergoer friends what they thought the plot was. As one friend said, Cats is about a colony of jellicle cats who get together annually to elect a new cat lord, but instead they get distracted and have a talent show and end up keeping the same leader.
Wow.
But did she like it? It's hard to tell. Another quote, my mouth was wide open the entire 2 hours and 20 minutes show. My jaw was on the floor. I love the 80s hair band style. I want to live in the set of Cats. The light bulbs were by far my favorite part. The music is like the soundtrack to The Lost Boys, but with a lot more insane breathing and Broadway singing. It could have used more hissing. And that, my friends, is the most bonkers acid trip review summary reincarnation of Cats I've ever read. It is written by Teddy Minford. It was originally published in 2017. It's so funny and it's so accurate because as someone who I just, as I admitted, I sang and danced and lip synced to this soundtrack for hours as a kid. And I don't think I could have done a better job trying to summarize what actually the plot is of this musical. This is a musical that's been running for years.
Decades.
And none of us can explain what the plot is.
But what's great at the very end, it says, author's note, one sentence. After writing this, I finally looked up the plot of Cats. I still don't get it. I mean.
And so if you have a better description of what Cats is about, we would love to hear it. 844-967-2789. I don't think they're dead.
I never picked up that vibe. That they were looking to get reincarnated.
Is it Sixth Sense the musical?
I see dead cats.
I see dead cats all the time. I want to sing about it.
And so I just, before that got lost in the, you know, bank of all of the different articles I ever read and want to talk about on air, just thought that was a great way to kick off the holiday season. There is no Christmas show, I promise you, that will be as bonkers as the Cats musical is.
Well, and certainly any playwrights who are listening, this should give you great hope that you don't necessarily need a plot.
Now I want to know who wrote the story of Cats. Because obviously Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote the songs.
But there's a book somewhere.
But I remember trying to look this up once on Wikipedia, and it's like based off
poems or something?
Yeah, like 1800s British poems.
Yes, it's based off a 1939 poetry collection, Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats by T.S. Eliot.
There we go. That guy loved acid.
Wow. Just.
Oh, T.S.
Good old T.S. Just dropping the LSD.
There's Act One is called When Cats Are Maddened by the Midnight Dance, and Act Two is called Why Will the Summer Day Delay? When Will the Time Flow? Oh, my God. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
And on that note, that has been our rendition of Cats the Musical.
Next week,
coming to a theater near you.
Next week, we'll be reading The Producers.
All right, we got one more break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles.
Let the music roll.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies overnight with lows around 14. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 34 tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun. Mainly clear tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 26. Upper 40s Friday with a chance for scattered showers. Upper 20s, mainly clear skies Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Well, this has been a very fun show.
Wacky and fun.
Wacky and fun.
Fun
we did
and wacky.
Some serious stuff, yeah. But it's always fun.
We kept it light.
We kept it light.
Light and breezy.
It's fun to do light on Wednesdays. Get yeah. To get through the week, especially my first week back.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you have fun?
Ease back into it. I did have fun.
This is my first time seeing you since you got back. And
I know. It was very fun. Good. It was relaxing. It was...
You could definitely see on your face with the tan.
Tan helped. Did I tell you that I ate iguana?
No. Yeah. What did the iguana do to you?
No, nothing. It was an animal. It was a prey for humans.
Wow.
Here's my question, because I never asked you this as a follow-up. Do they raise the iguanas to be eaten, or is it just any random iguana?
I did not ask the restaurant. I don't think they raise... It didn't look like there was a farm attached
iguana
to the restaurant.
Ranch?
So I imagine... Well, I will say, so on the last... Our last day there in Aruba... There is a little tiny, tiny island that apparently this hotel, the Renaissance Hotel, just bought the island. And so part of the perk of staying at the hotel is you have access and there's a little boat taxi that takes you out there. And if you stay at the hotel, you can go there every day. But there's so much wildlife on the island. And so there's just flamingos walking all over the place. And you can put, there's just like there is at the zoo, where you can put a quarter in and get little food and feed the flamingos.
Flamingo feed?
The flamingo feed. And then there was also at noon every day, I walked by a sign that says a little picture of an iguana. And it said at noon is our lunch hour. So they just throw a bunch of romaine lettuce out on this little kind of deck area. And no joke, it was 12:30. I think one of the World Cup games had just finished. And so I was like, I'm going to go check out the iguana lunch. Not my lunch, their lunch. And literally there was 15 iguanas just chilling out, eating lettuce.
Now, the big question I have for you is when you ate it, if you wanted seconds, did you get to say iguana more?
How long are you sitting on that? Come to you pretty quickly.
About like 45 seconds now.
I want them more.
Yeah, I wanted to let your story build.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
That's very punny.
Yep.
That's very punny. He did not make me say I want them more.
Okay.
Well, I also didn't want more. You have to be very careful of the bones.
Why?
Tiny little bones. Don't choke on them.
No, thank you. No, I don't.
I'm going to show you the picture. You could pick out his little rib cage.
Okay. What are you doing?
Oh.
No, it's just like, I just, with Thanksgiving, even when I was vegan, I was in charge of carving the turkey. And when you just hold up a turkey spine, you're like, what is this? What am I doing in my life?
It is a funny, like, kind of barbaric thing to think that the wishbone game.
Yeah.
Where you pulled the bones apart and whoever got the bigger piece is like, well, you got your wish. It's like, who made up that?
I don't know, someone who enjoys, like, you know, iguana ribcage.
It tastes like chicken. What's the weirdest thing you've eaten? Weirdest being the most untraditional American beard.
I don't know. A vegetable, if you're going to...
Fair.
Weirdest American... Fair. Yeah, vegetable. Not deep fried. I don't honestly can't think off the top of my head. I will say this. Can I bring back a character from another segment?
Sure.
My old boss at that job I was telling you about.
The one who called the doctor an idiot.
Yep. He was telling me that about a story where he used to work on a ranch in Montana, and they took him to a bar, and they did the whole thing and like, oh, have some Rocky Mountain oysters. And do you know what those are?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to tell the audience what they are?
They are the testicles of bulls or other animals, but... And he said, like, he ate one and he ate a couple, and he's like, I really liked them. And then they told me what they were, and they went to the bathroom, and I tried to make myself throw up. I'm like, no, nope, that's not how it works. If you like it,
yes,
you like it. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be embarrassed. If you like Rocky Mountain oysters, cool deal. But you can't like find out what it is and be like, I can't do it unless it's human. Like if someone
that's
like,
your threshold.
Oh, it'd be like, oh, that's Ted, and be like, oh, I gotta go.
What if you found out it was dog? What if you were told it was something else, and then you found out it was like a dog?
I'd be really upset finding out the information, and I probably would be like, oh, I enjoyed it, but I would be really upset. I wouldn't try to like force myself to any sort of like bodily function or anything like that. Yeah. I'd be like, why did you do that? Why would you feed me dog? You know, there's Ted. We can eat Ted.
Would you rather eat Ted than
probably?
You would too.
I think I would too.
If you knew Ted, you'd probably agree.
Yeah. Yeah, Ted, who cares?
Who cares to Ted?
Plus, you can eat Ted, not kill him.
What?
Just slice a piece off. What are we doing? What are we talking about now? Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I hope it was a great one. This is my last show.
This just totally went off the rails. My trip was great.
Oh, great. Okay,
trip cool. was great. Highly recommend Aruba, Carousel. Yeah.
Well, we just booked flights to New Orleans for next year, so...
Very fun. Yeah, love that city.
Yeah, we're going in January. We're celebrating our 10th.
In 2 months?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we're actually a month and some change.
All right.
Were the flights insanely expensive, Greg?
I used points for mine. They would have been $400. Wasn't super bad. They weren't super bad, but I used points for mine. And yeah, we got ourselves a nice hotel, a 7-minute walk from... We didn't want to stay in the French Quarter or on... Bourbon. Is that Bourbon? Is that the street? Because they said if you stay down there, you just won't sleep. It's just always busy. Mm-hmm. So we get ourselves we're going on a trip.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a fun show.
That was a fun show.
Good show. Good Wednesday.
Brooklyn, thumbs up.
Got
thumbs up from Brooklyn.
You laugh?
Our resident youngster.
All right. Well, stay tuned for the Chad Holmes Show or Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. And that'll do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. Dr. Mike will fix your life and your lineup. So think of your questions for either. I think I already have questions that I'm going to submit for my own life. So maybe you can pick out which ones are mine. Ooh, that's a fun game.
I would like to eat my coworker, Ted.
That's an intriguing tease. I like that.
As always, if you missed anything from today's show, you can go to asgoeswisconsin.com and find the podcast. Tell your friends if you enjoy the show. Tune in tomorrow, 11 a.m. See you soon.
Bye.
Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed. My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at